translation and purport. For a Brahmin, austerity and learning are certainly auspicious. But when acquired by a person who is not gentle, such austerity and learning are most dangerous. It is said that a jewel is very valuable, but when it is on the head of a serpent, it is dangerous despite its value. Similarly, when a materialistic non-devotee achieves great success in learning and austerity, the success is dangerous for all of society. So-called learned scientists, for example, invented atomic weapons that are dangerous for all humanity. It is therefore said, Mani na bhushita sarpakim asona bhayan kara. A serpent with a jewel on its hood is as dangerous as a serpent without such a jewel. Who's coughing? What are you going to do? Stay here, but Durvasa Muni was a very learned Brahmin equipped with mystic power. But because he was not a gentleman, he did not know how to use his power. He was therefore extremely dangerous. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is never inclined toward a dangerous person who uses his mystic power for some personal design. By the laws of nature, therefore, such misuse of power is ultimately dangerous, not for society, but for the person who misuses it. Om agena timarandasya ganandana shloka chakshusam militam inatas Shri Gurave nama Shri Chaitanya manobishtam Shtapitam dena bhutale svayam Rupakadam dadati svapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shrita Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnamamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam sahagana raganatan vitam tam sajivam sadvetam savadutam parijana sahitam krishna chitanya devam Sri Radha Krishna padan sahagana lalita shakanditam stra Hey Krishna, Karuna, Sindhu, Dina, Bandhu, Jagat, Pate, Gopisha, Gopi, Kakanta, Radha, Kanta, Namastite, Dapta, Kanchana, Gurangi, Hare, Vrindavanesvari, Vishvanu, Sutta, Devi, Panamami, Hare, Priya, Manchagopta rubhyas cha kripa sindhu bheva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha Dasi Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shiva Sri Guru Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Tapu Vidya cha vipranam Nishreyasa kare ube Ta eva te ve durvini tasya kalpete katuranyata. So durvinatasya. Take away the dur, and you have avinatasya. This means not very submissive, not very submissive. And if you add the dur means difficult, then you have not very submissive and difficult, or an upstart. In examples, Prabhupada says, making atomic weapons, very learned, some austerity to acquire the knowledge, and apparently very dangerous for humanity. But the last sentence of the purport says it's actually dangerous for the person who misuses that austerity and knowledge. Not for society. Ultimately, it's not dangerous for society. So somehow, even if an atomic bomb goes off, as it did in Japan, two atomic bombs went off, somehow the reaction for those people who were killed is less than for the persons who misused their knowledge and austerity to make the bombs. We think, especially if we're American, that the world has been glorious since the atomic bombs were dropped, because the war was ended and America seemed to come out on top, and it's been wonderful for the last 50 or 60 years. But actually, in the seventh canto, when Prabhupada starts to discuss the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, he talks about how the conflict between the demigods and the demons is like the conflicts that we have in the world. And he mentions specifically world wars and says that these are products of the modes of nature. And some people claim, one nation claims to be the victor. We won. And somebody else, oh, we are the losers. But actually nobody wins. It's just, the name that you give it. It's just the modes of nature, passion and ignorance. In the case of the demigods, Prabhupada said it's goodness. Demigods are in the mode of goodness, so Lord Vishnu is inclined to be on the side of the demigods and to oppose the demons. So this is how it's working. The person who misuses knowledge and austerity, he's durvinatasya. He's an upstart. He's not submissive. He's not a gentleman. He's not submissive to higher authority. Knowledge doesn't mean, okay, now I become independently the lord of the world. I can do what I want. I can kill anyone I want. Another example Prabhupada gives is the cow killers. They develop very scientific methods of killing animals in slaughterhouses, thinking, oh boy, we'll really get the process going. And we'll even be a little compassionate when we slit the animals' throats. We'll do it in such a way so they don't feel too much pain. So we're very advanced, huh? We can kill so many each day. So horrible, horrible, horrible work, and not very much appreciated by those who really have knowledge and who really are austere, the Brahmins, the spiritual masters. The Lord himself, Krishna, doesn't appreciate this dura-vinatasya. Means not submissive. One should be under someone. One should be submissive to someone. Everyone's a servant. So who's the master? Krishna. And the representatives of Krishna. We should be submissive. And there are descriptions like the first class servant is able to anticipate the master's desires, and he'll do what the master needs without even being asked. He gets to know the master, and okay, he'll need this, he'll need that. I'll make sure to provide it. The second class servant, he waits until he's asked. And then he does it. Will you do it? Yes. But the third class servant, even if he's asked, he won't do it. Very unsubmissive. And in the Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, there's a very brilliant example of a devotee who's at first not very submissive to his spiritual master. Does someone know? Srinivas, you know, maybe the Bhagavatam. Who in the fourth canto is not submissive to his spiritual master at first? Dhruva Maharaj. Give Srinivas a prize. Dhruva Maharaj is described by the same word, avintasya. Avinitasya, avinitasya. What does it mean? Tulsi, what does avinitasya mean? Louder? Very good. Tulsi also gets a prize. And then we're going to discuss, first we'll discuss avinitasya, then we're going to discuss duravinitasya a little more. Someone who's an upstart. So Dhruva, it's really nice to hear. Lord Chaitanya loved to hear the pastimes of Dhruva. So let's relish this for a few minutes. Narada Muni spoke to Dhruva, and Dhruva said, when he's described as avinitasya, he said, "My dear Narada Muni, my Lord, I'm very impudent for not accepting your instructions. But this is not my fault." Devaki. "It is due to my having been born in a Kshatriya family." So again, the modes of nature, the Brahman, the Kshatriya, the Vaishya, Shudra, those are all products of the modes of nature, right? Krishna says, "Chaturvarna maya srishtam guna karma vibhagasya." So Dhruva says, it's not my fault that I'm unsubmissive. My stepmother, Saruchi, has pierced my heart with her harsh words. Therefore, your valuable instruction doesn't stand in my heart. I want revenge. Narada had asked Dhruva to tolerate the offense. And he said to him, "When a devotee is put in distress, Dhruva, he accepts this as God's mercy and offers God repeated obeisances. An intelligent person should be satisfied, always depending on the mercy of the Lord." And he said, Narada said to Dhruva, "You want to be a mystic, you want to engage in mystic meditation. Don't you know this is very difficult? Very few people are able to get the mercy of the Lord by this process. This is not possible for an ordinary man." And guess what? Srila Prabhupada says there that even the process of bhakti yoga is simultaneously very difficult and very easy. So if it's very, very difficult, and even ordinary people can hardly do it, but it's recommended for the Brahmins, for upliftment, to reach Shreya, the goal of life. So somehow we have to find out how to do it. We may not be Brahmins. Srila Prabhupada wants to make us Brahmins. Brahmins. Tapo and vidya are recommended for Brahmins. Austerity and knowledge. Also the Kshatriyas. Arjuna was asking for knowledge about the ultimate goal of life, Shreya. But his mind was down. He said, Karpanya dosho, pahata subhava, prachami tvam dharma, samudha cheta. I'm bewildered about my dharma. Yat shreya, the goal of life. Yat shreya syan, nischitam, bruhi tanme. Tell me, Krishna. I'm surrendered now, I'm your disciple. Yet. But Dhruva is saying to Narad Muni, my heart is now like a broken pot. It's been damaged by my stepmother's unkind words. I can't hold in my heart these instructions to be tolerant and to accept this as the mercy of the Lord. I want to counteract her insult. I want to become a great king. So Dhruva knew about these four types of spirit. There's Kshatriya spirit, Brahminical spirit, Shudra spirit, Vaishya spirit. And Prabhupada recommends that, you know, we distinguish these spirits. Human beings have these spirits according to the modes of nature, so we should pay attention to them. Narada Muni was recommending something in a Brahminical spirit, and Dhruva Maharaj said, I'm a kshatriya, I can't accept. Srila Prabhupada used to talk in the lectures and about how the Americans and the Europeans were not really Brahmins or Kshatriyas. They didn't have austerity, they didn't have knowledge, so they weren't Brahmins. And many of them weren't, the American men weren't Kshatriyas. He said they weren't interested in fighting wars. At that time in America, the Vietnam War was going on and people were being called into service, young men. Especially the women weren't in the military at that time. But now the women are in the military more than before. So Prabhupada said, actually the American boys are just trained as Shudras or maybe Vaishyas. And they're not interested in fighting in the battle. And in fact, they're just becoming hippies. Therefore, they want to refuse when they're called into the military service. One of my godbrothers, Shivananda went to Germany to avoid being drafted into the army. And he started the Krishna consciousness movements in Germany. And I ran into him there in 1972 when I was in Europe. I had finished college. And in Heidelberg, I ran into Shivananda. The first person I heard give a Bhagavatam class was Shivananda. So he had become a Brahmin by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. He was able to give the knowledge of the Bhagavatam. And he was living the Bhagavatam. Huh? Bhagavat is a book. Bhagavat is a person. Prabhupada didn't want us to listen to persons recite the Bhagavatam unless they were living the Bhagavatam. Sometimes someone knows some Sanskrit. Prabhupada had experience. People sometimes came to the movement. They said, I know Sanskrit. But they weren't dedicating their life, devoting their life to the Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada said, they're examples of serpents with jewels on their hoods. We think the jewel is very beautiful. Oh, I want it. I want it. It's nice. Color attracts me. Maybe the jewel's red or green or blue or yellow, white. And if the serpent has a jewel, he must not be very dangerous. He must be some sort of special magical serpent, very nice serpent maybe, like a wizard or some. He'll be nice to me. The serpent won't be dangerous to me. No, that's a big mistake. So if you listen to someone who knows Sanskrit, but he's not a devotee, and he was reciting the Bhagavatam, dangerous, Prabhupada said, like milk touched by the lips of a serpent is poisonous. But Prabhupada opened up the Krishna consciousness movement to everyone, even people who are just Shudras, and gives everyone a chance to be like a Brahmin, to acquire knowledge and to do austerities. So that's Dhruva, avinatasya, not very submissive. And then duravinatasya, an upstart. When austerity and knowledge are acquired by a person who's not gentle, it's most dangerous. So who's gentle? Who's a gentleman? In this pastime, Durvasa Muni is described as not being a gentleman. He was a learned Brahmin equipped with mystic power. So he did austerity, he had knowledge, he got power, but he was not a gentleman. So he was extremely dangerous and he threatened to kill a devotee. Another example is Romaharsana Sutta. He took birth in a family called Pratiloma. That means that his father was a little bit lower caste than his mother. His father was a kshatriya. Ramaharshana Sutta's mother was a Brahmin. It was that kind of a marriage. And normally, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is willing to overlook a person's birth. One isn't considered a Brahmin by birth or a Shudra by birth. That's overlooked if one serves the personality of Godhead, one's birth. But in the case of Ramaharshana Sutta, this Pratiloma distinction was noticed by Lord Balaram, who was on pilgrimage. He came into the assembly where Ramaharshana Sutta was seated, giving instruction to some devotees. And they all stood up to honor the Lord when the Lord appeared. They understood the Supreme Personality of Godhead is now present in our assembly. But Ramaharsana Sutta was unwilling to submit to the presence of the Lord and show some recognition to Lord Balaram. So he wasn't properly using his position as a Brahmin, and this made Lord Balaram take action against him. He killed him with a blade of kusha grass. So one shouldn't be in the position of a Brahmin if he doesn't have realization. He doesn't actually have realization. He's not a valid Brahmin in that case. Prabhupada told our God brothers sometimes, you know, okay, now you're Brahmins, and if you know something, you can actually elevate people. But you have to know something. Then you can have an effect. So Lord Balaram saw that Ramaharshana Sutta was puffed up and his realization was imperfect. He was actually a disciple of Vyasadeva. So he had a good qualification. He had a good spiritual master. And he was a good student. He had studied the Vedic literature quite thoroughly. From Vyasadeva, imagine how fortunate he was. You know, that's like going to Harvard or Oxford. Study with Srila Vyasadeva. But he didn't become gentle. He didn't become submissive. So somehow the knowledge was just like a material acquisition. And he didn't act in a way befitting a Brahman. So this was like a valuable jewel on the hood of a serpent. Or just an outward dress. I'm dressed like a Brahman. So show me respect. I have a thread. Outward dress. Lord Balaram thought before he killed him, before he awarded him the punishment of murdering him, he was thinking, quote, I have appeared to chastise false persons who are internally impure, but externally pose themselves as very learned and religious. My killing of such persons is proper to check them from further sinful activity. I'm simply waiting now for Lord Balaram to kill me. He should kill me because I'm not learned, I'm not gentle. I'm a very sinful person. So the non-devotee might be very educated, but he's always harmful. You know, foolish people, passionate people cannot become devotees, ignorant and foolish people. This is stated in the Bhagavatam. You have to rise above the modes of ignorance and passion. The first lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave that I heard in Los Angeles, he talked about this, that you have to rise to the mode of goodness. That's your prerequisite for becoming a devotee. And he gave this example of being in a university. There's certain classes you can't take unless you have taken the prerequisite classes. And I could relate to that because I had been in college. He said you can't enter law school unless you have your bachelor's degree. So you can't be a devotee if you remain in the modes of passion and ignorance. You have to come to the mode of goodness. You can't be harmful. You can't be foolish. So someone might be materially educated, very cultured, but the Bhagavatam says, haravanna bhaktasya, if he's not a devotee, these material qualifications don't count. Because he's on the material platform, that means his mind is engaged with the material energy, the modes of nature. He can't do good for others because he doesn't even know about the spiritual platform. Or if he knows, he has maybe some limited knowledge. There's lots of philosophers who have some limited knowledge about the spiritual platform. But to be on the spiritual platform, to be a devotee, to be living according to the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said the devotee has good qualities, like the demigods. So these are some of the descriptions of the results of obtaining knowledge and doing austerities. A devotee is in a good position. Maya may try to allure the devotee, but the attractive features of Maya are defeated by the spiritual power of a saintly person. You can all think of examples like Haridas Thakur. Maya couldn't defeat Haridas Thakur. And Prabhupada was asked by a television interviewer on television, how would one recognize a true follower of yours, Swamiji? What's the behavior of a person who's Krishna conscious? Srila Prabhupada responded, he'd be a perfect gentleman, that's all. Or perfect lady. One should become a perfect gentleman and learn to give proper respect to others. It's stated in the items of knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada sometimes just summed this up and said, a gentleman is someone who keeps his vow. He vows to follow the principles, four regulative principles. I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions?